Thank you for joining us today on My Not Today. I'm your host, Bob Timm, and my guest today is Heather Lear. And Heather is the brains behind Embrace North Dakota. Heather, tell us a little about Embrace North Dakota, but first, introduce yourself.
Well, hello, I'm Heather. Embrace Indy was started initially in 2016 as a Facebook group. I had run into parents who were struggling with the same thing I was. Children not going down the right path with addiction issues. And we didn't have anyone to talk to about it. So we started off as a Facebook group. It was a private group at first, and then we moved it to a public group. And as soon as we did that, we started getting members from all over the state, and it grew to members from all over the country. In September of 2017, we held our first weekly meeting. And I'll tell you, the attendance was not very good at first. I think we had 3 to 5 people the first 3 to 4 months. And then we had a story about us that was on the news. And from there, we jumped up to about 15 to 25, just depending on the week that attended each week.
A low attendance in the beginning might be a blessing, though.
I think it was. It gave us a time to actually talk through things and gave me an opportunity to learn more. Two of the individuals in there were in recovery. The other one was my youngest child and myself. So it was nice to have those conversations. And I think it brought me more peace to understand why some of the whys anyway.
Conversations is such a key to making things work. You know, when I was young, as you and I had talked earlier, I have a brother who's been chemically addicted for 50 years, maybe even more. And back then, it wasn't something you talked about. There was very little information available. Obviously, there was no internet, and parents can have so many different reactions. It can be denial. It can be enabling, as we talked about. But today, there's enough information out there that they can get involved and get some understanding as to what's going on.
Absolutely. I think that's the first thing I did when I didn't understand what was going on, is I did a lot of research and reading on it. But, you know, people still kind of want to keep it in the closet. There is stigma attached not only to those who struggle with substance use disorders, but there's also stigma on the family. There's stigma on the churches for anyone that supports recovery. For the family members, you know, it's the judgment that goes along with it, as, you know, why were you not a better parent? You know, I think that's the thing. And that was the thing that I struggled with, because society will say, where were the parents when this happened? Why weren't they more involved with their kids? And I can honestly say I was, and a choice is a choice.
And as we talked earlier too, sometimes this chemical dependency comes about from prescribed drugs to begin with.
Correct.
That I'm really glad to see is in the forefront of the news, how these chemical companies or pharmaceutical companies have set people up to become addicts.
Yes, it has been kind of sad to watch that take place.
Back to Embrace ND, now your Facebook group is up to 300 members, is that correct?
Yes, I think right around there.
That is so cool. And it's no longer just a local group.
Yeah, there are members from all over the country that are a part of that Facebook group now.
As there should be, because there's people hurting all around the country.
Correct.
You currently meet at Eagles Wings Church, which is across from Arrowhead Shopping Center. When do you meet? And tell us a little bit about a typical meeting.
We meet every Monday night at 7 o'clock. We have individuals who are kind enough to bake homemade goodies for us. So if you want a little treat, that's an incentive there to come. Our meetings are genuinely conversationally based. We bring in a topic and go from there. Questions are presented. Our topic last week was about fear and how that hinders our growth, it hinders our recovery, and ways that we can deal with it.
Heather, we've been talking about drugs, but this is a support group not just for drugs. It's for people that have family members incarcerated. Is that correct?
Correct. Addiction doesn't have to be necessarily substance related. I think comes from poor mental health. And a lot of the times we have to address that in order to recover and heal. Our meetings are inclusive. They have those seeking recovery, those in recovery, the family members, community members. And I think bringing us all to the table is a great way to learn, heal, and grow from there.
Our sheriff and the jail here, the jail's a great facility. I really like and get along well with our sheriff, but sometimes just the system itself is not real conducive to helping people overcome addiction.
Correct. A lot of the times when they're released early in the morning, there's no access to services. And sometimes those services are only offered certain days a week. So if you're constantly running into closed and locked doors, it's hard to not stay in that revolving door.
As you know, I have a friend who's incarcerated at this time. I was surprised that they no longer allow person-to-person visits. To me, in a way, that seems a little counterproductive because to me, the idea of rehabilitation is to get people prepared to come back into normal life, but it's not normal not to visit with people.
Correct. I agree. You know, even when you go to the prisons for visitation, there is that, you know, person-to-person contact. The video system, I understand it's a little bit easier to do and it takes a little less man time to shuffle the inmates in and out of that. But even prior, they were separated by glass and you had to talk on a phone. The improvements to that are the fact that it's easier to hear the inmate versus what it was prior. So I agree, those person-to-person interactions are vital to allowing them to actually feel somewhat normal.
Right. And that's what a lot of them want is normal.
Oh, as normal is, you know, they want to be seen as people, not just their crime. You know, those labels, those negative labels, whether it is a crime, whether it is a disease, and, you know, you can even go down to middle school, whether it's a bad grade or your home situation, those negative labels hold you back from your future. And if we can help take some of those off, even while they're at their lowest point, if we can go in and meet with them and help them walk that path of recovery, I think we may bring more success to our community.
One positive about the video system is that families can do this from their own home. They don't have to go to the jail to have that FaceTime through the computer.
Right.
And I can see where the inmate can see their pet and so forth at home might make them feel a little better too.
It is the convenience is there and it's offered at more times, you know, versus just the Wednesday and Sunday visitation. So, you know, it gives them a little bit more access to interactions with their families.
Heather, I'm just trying to get a better grasp for, is this a .org? How organized are you? Are you looking for sponsors? What would a sponsor do to help? Tell me, go along those lines.
Well, we're in the process right now of making it a nonprofit. And with that nonprofit, we want to be able to provide educational information and support to the families and to their loved ones that are incarcerated. We've been lucky enough to have anonymous donors. We've had our church sponsor us for a Recovery Empowered event that was held in March so that we could be one of the main sponsors. So we've had individuals donate clothing and money so that we can in turn purchase things or donate things to the jail. We've seen, especially this winter, when individuals who had been arrested in the summer or fall were released in the winter, they had no winter jacket. They had, you know, probably flip-flops or no socks. And it was nice to be able to help, you know, get jackets and even just something warmer to wear when they leave the jail.
Tell me what this event was again in March that you mentioned.
Recovery Empowered was a product of Free Through Recovery. Free Through Recovery partnered with a bunch of different agencies in Minot to create this kind of a second chance job fair, housing opportunity, recovery services event that was open to the public so that they could see what resources and services were available for the community.
When you mentioned donating clothing to the jail, how does that work? Does that need to be like a mass donation? You can't just bring something for a prisoner.
No. What the jail has set up is called Hope's Closet, and it's a closet where the inmates, if they're going to court, they have the opportunity to go find something presentable to wear if they're going into the courtroom and for clothing to leave. What I've done is I've just posted on our Facebook group that we're looking for these donations, and people will get in contact with me and I'll take in a bulk donation that way. We've even went to garage sales and picked up things that people couldn't sell and took them into the jail.
Have you ever purchased things? Like the inmate I referred to was looking for basic undergarments and socks, like you mentioned.
I did. At one point, I put together a cost comparison between what you would spend purchasing these things at Walmart and what you would purchase through the inmate canteen, which is the service that's available at Ward County Jail. The regular size, I think it was like 12-ounce shampoo, 12-ounce conditioner, regular size deodorant. I think I had toothpaste in there, body wash, a sweatshirt, because if you're ever in a cement building, you realize how cold it is, and I think a pair of socks. And that total that I spent at Walmart would have been right around $19. Through inmate canteen, it jumped up to $50. So a difference of about $30. And if you're a family that's barely making it paycheck to paycheck, you can't afford to buy those things for your loved ones.
I'm just unaware, but let's say somebody did want to buy the things on your list there. Can they buy those and take them to the jail and get them to a person?
No.
I didn't think so. No. I thought they had to go through that canteen thing.
Yeah, they go through that canteen. I think it would have only been double the price of the Walmart price if it wouldn't have been for that $8.95 processing fee that goes on. So any transaction you do through that service is charged that fee.
Talking about that inmate closet, then if you took that same list we've been talking about and multiplied it by 20, if you brought that in, I wonder if they would accept that.
And that's something that, you know, I would like to have that conversation with the sheriff. I know that I don't know, I guess, for sure what they would say, but it would be nice to be able to at least, if you know that they're going to be in there for a while, just say, here's a care package. At least make you feel somewhat human. They've made mistakes, I get that, but they deserve to at least not have to stink and feel crusty and gross, you know. It may be a deterrent, but it's not.
Let's talk about the meetings that you actually hold at the jail with the inmates, and what are they about?
Well, we go in, there's five of us that have been approved through Embrace ND that go in, we meet at the jail at 5. There are two guys that go in and meet with the males, and us three women go and meet with the women. We take our Monday night topics into the jail, again, to have those conversations. Again, the fear one was a huge one that was brought up by them. You know, how do we get away from our addiction? How do we make changes? Because change is a big fear.
You mentioned the Monday night topics. I just want to go back and have the listeners remember we're talking about the Monday meetings that is held at the Eagles Wings Church, and then you take those topics to the jail. As you mentioned, though, sometimes the people in the jail have something else they want to talk about, so you don't stick hard and fast to your agenda.
Right. As with anything in life, you know, you kind of got to be flexible and go with the flow. And sometimes when you get in there, it's about introducing who you are, because that turnover rate can be high in the county jail. So it's establishing that trust again. They look at us at first, when you first come in there, that, oh, like, we really want to talk to you because you get to go home. And it has taken a while for us to build up trust. Yet for those that have been with us even since we started in January, they're pretty good about pulling the newbies in to say, hey, you might want to sit down and talk with these people. And I have to say the correctional officers are amazing as well. They will let us know when somebody is struggling because they have those interactions with them all the time. And they'll say, hey, you know, you might want to check out this person. Let's go there first. And it's kind of nice to have that relationship with them as well.
Absolutely. Heather, I can't believe it, but we're already out of time. So let's just give a little bit of contact information. Obviously, they can go to the Monday night meetings at Eagles Wings, and that's every Monday at 7 p.m. You told me that you've never missed a meeting except for when it fell on Christmas Eve. And you have a Facebook group. They can probably just go to Facebook and look up Embrace ND. What else?
If they can't find it there, they can look up Heather Lear, and it's L-E-I-E-R, and I can get you connected that way. They can call me at any time. I've had multiple late night conversations with individuals that are pretty upset and just looking to vent. So, and that's, you know, 701-720-5909. I don't think anybody should have to walk that recovery path, whether they're family or, you know, actually battling themselves. They should have to go through it alone.
Heather, thank you so much for being my guest today on Why Not Today.
Absolutely. Thank you.